It's about time to get going again. Brother Hill will come now and once again give his final affirmative in this tonight. The scriptures teach that the child of God may so sin as to be finally and eternally lost in hell. Brother Hill.
Again, we're continuing with my affirmative. If you remember, I'm in the affirmative. He's in the negative. He answered or tried to answer about five or six of my passages and spent a lot of time on other passages, which I didn't bring up. I'd like to encourage him to try to follow my speech and go to the text that I've gone to, because I'd like to hear what he has to say. He did mention this one, but I'd like to see what he says here. Why does it say, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh? Who are they debtors to? They're debtors to God, aren't they? And he says to these people who are debtors to God, if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. I'd like to hear him address that, because this is the context. And in the context, he says, you have what? Ye have the spirit of adoption. You've received that. We are the children of God. And it's to these people that he says, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. Now, why doesn't he address the context of this? He'll mention the verse and then go to another verse. I'd like to encourage him. Look at the context. Explain to us why this is not talking about the children of God in the context. That's what he'd have to address this passage. Now, we go on. And a lot of the arguments he made, I imagine he's going to make tomorrow, and I'll be in the negative, and I'll follow him then, and answer him then. So we invite you back to come back tomorrow. Romans chapter 8. Who shall separate us from the love of God? He brought this one up, even though I didn't get to it yet. But who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And he talked about that God loved us. Yes, God loves us. His love is profound and great and deep. What exterior and outer thing can separate us? All the persecutions and all these things that can happen to us, neither height nor depth or anything, can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ. But you know, again it is written. Can we interpret this to mean that you can never be separated in any form or fashion? Well, there's one thing the Bible says can separate you. He says in Jude 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. You know, yourself was not in that list. Everything else in the world was in that list except yourself, Jude 21. Keep yourself. There's something you must do to remain in the love of God. Notice in John 15, the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. You do this. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Now, Mr. Holland used a verse in John. He said, keeping his commandments is how you know him. It's not that you come into know him by commandments, but it's you prove you already do know him by keeping the commandments. Well, notice this. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. What does that mean? If. Well, what if you don't keep his commandments? Are you remaining in his love? This is bound together. What God has joined, let not man put asunder. If you take away the commandments and you disobey, then you depart from the Lord. That is what Jesus said, John 15. Romans 11. The context is that those of the Old Testament, the Jews of the Old Testament, they did not enter in, they were broken off from the Lord, as branches were, because of unbelief. The Gentiles, they stand by faith. The Gentiles are believers. Those who were broken off, the Jewish nation as a whole, were unbelievers. Notice the contrast. Faith versus unbelief. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest ye spare thee not. Notice this. Believers says you can end up like them. Why? What would happen? If you stop believing, you stand by your faith. But what if you quit having faith? You quit standing. You'd end up in the same boat with them, wouldn't you? Beware lest he spare thee not. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which will happen. Fell. They were branches in, but they were cut off because of unbelief. They were in, but now they're out. And he says, you're in right now, but beware lest you have the same thing happen and you fall like they did. He says God's goodness towards you if thou continue. Condition, term, requirement. Now, is this earning perfect work salvation? No, it's by faith. Faith is a condition. What kind of faith? Is it a dead, lifeless faith that, well, I just believe from my heart, but I don't do anything the Lord says? Is that the kind of faith this is? No. We've shown passages already where the kind of faith is an obedient, living, walking faith. He brought up Romans 4, which I didn't mention. But if you want to mention Romans 4 about Abraham being justified by faith, well, once you read Romans 4, verse 12, that said the kind of faith Abraham had steps of faith. That's the kind of faith that Abraham had that justified him. That's the context of Romans 4 and the context of this as well. Notice it goes on. And if they abide not still in unbelief, well, what happens once they fell away? Could they ever be renewed? Yes. If they abide not still in unbelief, that means they now become a believer, they shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. It's not a matter of perfect works. It's, are you being faithful now? That's the question. Are you being faithful now? Can you stop? Yes, obviously somebody did. And can they believe again and be renewed again? Yes, they can. God is able to graft them in again. Now the context of Romans 11, I haven't read all of it, but just to summarize it. He's talking about grace. He's talking about salvation, being saved, reconciled to God, life from the dead, holiness, unbelief versus faith. We saw that. Saved, delivered, taking away of sins in verse 27. That's the context. That's not works salvation. That's not Old Testament law salvation. But that's faith. Yes, living, active, obedient faith. But faith salvation. That's what we're talking about. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 talked about, he brought up 2 Corinthians 13, that you need to prove whether you're in Christ or not, lest you be reprobate. Well, Paul talked about being a reprobate. He said that those who run for a prize, he says you need to so run that you may obtain. Well, when do you get the prize, by the way? When you start or when you finish? Notice this. Every man that striveth for mastery is temperate, self-controlled in all things. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. What's he talking about? Temporary crown? No. I want that eternal life. That's what he's referring to. Incorruptible crown. I therefore so run. Well, I thought you didn't have to do anything. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. Well, you know, I just don't know about my security. No. Paul knew what he was doing. I'm not uncertain. So fight I not as he that beat the air. I'm not just playing a game here. But I keep, notice he does something. I keep my body under, and I bring it into subjection. That's obedience. That's the definition of the word. I obey, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I should be cast away. That's our word right here. Strong's number 96. Unapproved, rejected, by implication worthless, cast away, rejected, reprobate. Here is Paul, the inspired apostle. He says, I can so live as to go away from God. If I don't keep and I don't obey, I can be cast away. That's what Paul says. The context is striving for an incorruptible crown, by the way, eternal life. You can lose eternal life, Paul says. I know it, Paul says. And wouldn't Paul know if anybody did? Look at 1 Corinthians 10. Context. Israel partook of that same spiritual rock. He says that rock which was Christ. Israel was a partaker of Christ through the types and shadows, yes, but a partaker of Christ. And he says, yet they were overthrown because of sin, because they were partakers of Christ. Once saved, always saved? No. He goes on to say then, warning to brethren, saying warning to we and us. Paul includes himself. We need to learn from that, lest we fall after the example. They were overthrown because of sin, though they were partakers of Christ. And he says, we can do the same if we are not careful. Notice the text here in verse 12 and 13 of 1 Corinthians 10. Wherefore, as he talks about that context, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Now, can you fall from a place you're not? Is he talking about people who are already in sin and never been saved? No, take heed lest he fall. He's standing, he's just getting big-headed about it. He warns you, don't get big-headed about it, lest you do what? Fall. Your pride can lead you to your fall. And he talks about how God gives us security. Is it that once you're saved, sin can't touch you and affect your spiritual state? No, Satan, the tempter, remember we talked about the book of Numbers? The serpents were still there, able to bite the people. The serpent is still here. He can still tempt you, but God has so restricted him that he will not be able to tempt you beyond what you're able to bear. You're able to endure every temptation. Every sin is going to be our choice whether we get into it or not. Now, does that mean we're living perfectly and without sin? No. All of sin falls short of the glory of God. We know that and we admit that. But every sin we commit is perfectly and completely our choice. That's what God's Word says. God is able to make a stand, but how does He do it? How does He do it? That's the question we're looking at. Is it with a faith that is not obedient or in a living and active faith? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says, "Now I make known unto you, brethren, the gospel." The gospel, the power of God unto salvation? Yes, it is. "Which I preach unto you, which also you receive, wherein also you stand, by which also you were saved." Notice that, talking about salvation. Again, here's that little sticky word, "if you hold fast the word." They're saved right now, but what happens if they don't do this? "If you hold fast the word which I preached unto you, except you believe in vain." How can you possibly believe in vain? If you're once saved, always saved, then this passage ought to be struck out of the book. Shouldn't it? "Except you believe in vain." That means, like Luke 8:13, those who've received the word, the joy, and believe for a while, the implication is they stopped after that because of persecution. If you believe in vain, you believe Christ, as the Bible says it, you become a Christian, and you're saved, and then you stop believing and fall away and lose the very thing that God gave you. When you give it, or you are given a gift, have you ever thrown a gift away, Mr. Holland? Have you ever thrown a gift away after you received it? I know I have. You can throw away the gift of God and turn your back upon it. That's what the Bible teaches. Galatians chapter 5, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty." Notice, what do we have? Liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Are these saved people here? Again, my proposition, children of God, saved people. Christ has made us free. He's talking to saved people. He says, "Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, if, condition, ye," those saved people, "be circumcised, Christ shall profit you," those saved people, "nothing." You can do something after becoming a Christian that will make Christ of no profit to you. What does that mean? You're going to go to heaven anyway without Christ? Certainly not. "For I testify again to every man that is circumcised." What's he talking about, by the way? What work is he talking about? A work of faith? Circumcision a work of faith? It's a work of the law. Amen to that. "I testify again to every man that is circumcised." Work of the law of Moses. "That he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you." Who's that? These people who are free right now? He will become of no effect if you go back to that old system. "Whosoever you who are justified by the law, ye are fallen." You know, I was in a gospel meeting one time, and I had a brother read this scripture. Didn't explain a word of it. Just read the scripture, said, "Ye are fallen from grace." The guy next to me, nobody said out loud, "You can't fall from grace." That man just heard the reading of the scripture and contradicted it verbally. But here it is, in print, friends. You can open your Bibles and you can read, "You are fallen from grace." If you go to a different way of living, different pursuit of justification, then you will fall from this right here. That is Bible on the matter. That's not my opinion. That is Bible on the matter. Conditional grace is what the Bible teaches. Colossians chapter 1. "It was the good pleasure of the Father that in Him, Christ, should all the fullness dwell through Him," Christ, "to reconcile," make friends again, "all things unto Himself, having made peace through the blood of Christ." Now, salvation is where? In Christ, through the blood. "And I say, whether things upon earth, things in heaven, and you," notice this, are these people saved? "You being in time past alienated and enemies in your mind, and in your evil works, you were in the past." What are you now? You're in Christ. "Yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh." These are saved people, are they not? And He says He's going to deliver you without blemish, unreprovable before Him. Is God able to do that? Yes. How? "If so be that ye continue in the faith." But what if I don't continue in the faith? That's my whole proposition. Can a believer stop believing? The inspired writer says, yes, you can stop. He says, don't do it though. "If you continue in the faith, ground and steadfast, not moved away." Well, what if I am moved away? What's going to happen? Am I still going to have this right here, the blood of Christ and reconciliation, without faith? Certainly not. We look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. "This charge I commit unto thee, Timothy." Who is he? Was Timothy saved or lost? You tell me. He says, "You wore the good warfare, holding faith." Well, I thought it just had to be that one point of faith that brings salvation. Once saved, always saved. Now I have to keep holding to God, do I? Paul says, yes, keep holding faith and a good conscience. That means you don't do things that are wrong and make you feel guilty. That's what it means. Which some, having put away concerning the faith, have made shipwreck. Now, can you wreck something you don't have? If you've never been on a ship, can you be shipwrecked? No, you have to be on the ship to be wrecked in that ship. And some have what? Put away that faith. They had it, and now they wrecked it. They turned away from it. Well, what do you mean? Here's an example. Hymenaeus and Alexander, of whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Hymenaeus and Alexander evidently did something to turn away from the faith. They blaspheme. And Paul says, now who's the main and whose power are they under? God's? They were in the faith, they're now shipwrecked, and they're power of Satan. But Paul says, well, they're going to waltz right into heaven anyway. Right? Is that what the Bible says? 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit speaks expressly. That means He specifically says something here. Notice this. It's a sad position to take when the Spirit says something specifically that you take a position that contradicts. An express statement of the Spirit. Notice this. The Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. What does that mean, to depart? Revolt, desert, fall away, withdraw oneself. Can you be a rebel from the faith that the Holy Spirit delivered and still go to heaven? Can you? He goes on in 1 Timothy 5. The younger widows refuse when they have begun to wax wanton. Notice this, against Christ. They're doing something against Christ. Having damnation. Is that approval? Are they going to go to heaven? Because they have cast off their first faith. In this context, their faith is they made a promise that they have not kept. They broke their word. Notice this. Can you do this against Christ? Break your word. Be a liar. And he says, they go about as idle tattlers and busybodies, and they have already turned aside after Satan. But once saved, always saved. They can do all these horrible things and still go to heaven. Is that what the Bible teaches? Notice 2 Timothy 2. Therefore I endure. What's that word mean? I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain salvation. And what? Eternal glory. What are we talking about? What's the goal? It is a faithful saying, for if we are dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we, Paul includes himself, we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. Notice this. Same conditional statement. We can understand that. If we deny Him, He will also deny us. Isn't that simple? Jesus says, you turn your back on me, you're not getting in. That is as simple as can possibly be. Now notice this. Paul includes himself here, talking about getting salvation, eternal life. If we believe not, can a believer become an unbeliever? Paul says, even of himself, if we, myself included, Paul says, we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. Is this a question of God's faithfulness? Not at all, Paul says. God abides faithful. He can't deny himself, but he sure can deny us if we turn our back on him. That's what this text says. 2 Timothy 2. You say 13 or 2? Okay. But some profane and vain babblings, they will increase unto more ungodliness. Here's some foolish speech and false teachings, and uses the example of Hymenaeus and Philetus as people who are doing this, who concerning the truth have erred. They had it, and they went away from it, he says, saying that the resurrection is past already. And what's the result of this false teaching? Overthrow the faith of some. Can a believer become an unbeliever? I believe the truth. I believe what Jesus teaches about the resurrection. Here comes Hymenaeus and Philetus teaching this false doctrine. Now I believe that. Am I still a believer in Christ? A still believer in truth? No, I've become an unbeliever, haven't I? And what's happened to my faith? I believe something, and I can believe it fervently from my heart, but it ain't true. And it ain't going to save me. It ain't the truth. My faith has been overthrown by a false doctrine. A believer can lose their faith. And when they lose the faith, what do you think they lose? We look at Hebrews chapter 3. Again, this is one of the biggest nails in the coffin of once saved, always saved. The Bible, Hebrews 3 verse 1, addressing this group. Holy brethren. What kind of brethren are they? Holy. Partakers of the heavenly calling. Are they saved or lost? You tell me. You judge. He goes on in this context of holy and heavenly called brethren. Take heed, brethren, lest haply there shall be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief. Can a believer, a saved person, become an unbeliever? The inspired writer says you better be careful because you might become an unbeliever. You can. In all what? falling away from the living God. But exhort one another day by day. Mr. Holland made the argument that, well, if it's a conditional salvation like I'm talking about, then you better make sure you pray before you die, before you go to heaven. Well, Paul says, yeah, you better be faithful. Yes, we can slip up, but you know what? God is long-suffering. That's a word used many times of God. God knows we fall short of time, and God knows our lifespan. And you know what? God knows that when I fall, I need a little time to repent. God is so gracious. He's been so gracious to me more than I can tell you. Yes, you can fall away. But if I don't repent and I continue in unbelief, where am I going to end up? I'm not going to end up in heaven. Notice this. You can fall away from the living God, but exhort one another day by day, so long as it's called the day, lest any one of you, who's that? Holy brethren. Lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And if you're hardened, are you coming back? No, you're going to refuse because you love the sin too much. For we are become partakers of Christ, conditioned if we hold fast the beginning of our faith or confidence firm to the end. That's exactly what he was denying a while ago. And it's stated clearly here. You've got to hold fast. Mr. Holland says you don't have to. How can you take a position that directly contradicts Scripture? Doesn't make sense. Hebrews 4. Let us fear, therefore, lest any one of you should seem to have come short. Come short? Didn't think you could do that. And for indeed we have had good tidings preached unto us, even as they, the Old Testament people, but the word of hearing did not profit them because it was not united by faith. So what do we have? We've got faith. It profits us. It didn't profit them. They didn't believe it. We who have believed, believers here, saved people, do enter that rest, even as he had said, as I swear in my wrath, they shall not. Why? They didn't believe. Seeing therefore they to whom the good tidings were preached before failed to enter in because of disobedience. I thought we were talking about faith. Why in the world does he bring in disobedience when he's talking about belief and unbelief? Because it is connected and bound together by the Word of God. If you have faith and you believe what the Word of God says, you're going to do it. And if you don't do it, you don't believe. That's the connection the Scripture makes constantly. Now in this context, what's he say? Today, if ye shall hear his voice, harden not your hearts. He's talking to those brethren now. There remaineth therefore a Sabbath rest for who? Those infidels up there who have never believed God in the first place? No, it's for the people of God. That's who he's addressing. Let us, who? The people of God, therefore, give diligence to enter into that rest, that no man fall. Well, you're talking about the people of God, Paul, not those old rebellious people who have never come in the first place. But he says what? We need to give diligence lest what? Fall into the same example of disobedience. There's that word again. Isn't that a dirty word? No, the Bible connects it with faith versus lack of faith. If you obey, you show genuine faith. If you don't obey, then it is unbelief and you are not going the way you ought to go. Believers can harden their hearts. Believers must be diligent to enter. Believers can fall by disobedience. Sin will affect your spiritual state. Hebrews chapter 6. As touching those who were once enlightened. Now, can you be enlightened by the truth and illumined by the truth and not be saved? Tasted of the heavenly gift. What is that? Salvation. We are made partakers of the Holy Spirit. You are partaker of the Holy Spirit, but you're not saved? Tasted of the good Word of God and the powers of the age to come. Now, look at all this. And the word tasted, by the way, is used in Hebrews 2, verse 9. Jesus tasted death for all men. Now, did he just kind of sample it, or did he actually die? He died, didn't he? That word tasted is you ate of it. You participated in this. You are part of this. And then fell away. It's impossible to renew them again under repentance, seeing or while they crucified to themselves afresh the Son of God. That means same people who say, here's Christ, and well, I'm going to go back to Judaism. See you later, Christ. Turn their back on them. How are they ever going to be saved going this direction? While they crucify him afresh and turn their back upon him and reject him, they won't be saved. A believer can become an unbeliever. That's what this teaches. James 1. To the 12 tribes. Who is that? Physical Israel? No. He says, my brethren, but he says, your faith. Was physical Israel as a nation believers in Christ? No. This is Christians. Believers. Saved people. Now speaking to these saved people, he says, blessed is the man who endureth temptation. For when, before and without? No, when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. By the way, what's loving him here? You're sticking to what he says. You're enduring. You're continuing. This is not perfect work salvation. I've already stated that many times. There's going to be times when we give in, but you can get back up. And guess what? The law of liberty grants pardon. The old law didn't do that. There's a difference. James chapter 1, every man, again, writing to who? Those people who are saved. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth what? Sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err. Do not be mistaken. Do not be misled by... Well, who's he talking to? Who is sin going to bring forth death to? Don't you think otherwise, brethren? There's going to be people who say, once saved, always saved, sin won't condemn you. And he says what? Don't err. Don't think otherwise than this. Sin will condemn you and bring death. Don't err, my beloved brethren. Don't you think differently than that. We read in James chapter 2, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. You know, that's a sin, to show respect to persons. Are ye, these brethren who have faith, not then partial in yourselves and become judges of evil thoughts? They weren't beforehand. Now they start doing this, they become this. Now can you have salvation and faith and then start mingling evil thoughts in and still go to heaven? Notice this. If you fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin. Well, what happens when you sin? Same book tells us, death. You commit sin and are convinced or convicted of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty. Well, I thought once saved, always saved. This says if you commit sin, you're guilty of all, and he shall have judgment without mercy who hath showed no mercy. He's writing to brethren who have faith, and he says, you go out here and be unmerciful, God is not going to extend mercy to you. So there's a condition to continuing in the way of God. James 5, brethren, if any of you, brethren, err from the truth, well, how can you do that? If you err from the truth and one convert him, what's going to happen? Let him know that he that converted the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from what? What did he gain when he turned away from the truth? That's exactly what he sowed back here. You sin, you die. You sin, you die. No mercy for you. You sin, you die. Now, how many times does the Bible have to say that? To Christians, to believers, children of God. 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again. Born again people. Saved people. They have a lively hope. An inheritance incorruptible. And they are kept. And he brought this passage up, though I hadn't got to it yet. But they are kept. Yes, we're kept by the power of God. I don't doubt the power of God to keep. Does that mean that, well, I don't have to worry about sin and falling away? Notice this. You're kept by the power of God through faith. Well, how am I kept? As long as I continue believing and going in the way of faith, then I'm kept by the power of God. You know what the power of God is? Romans 1:16. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. As long as I stick with the gospel, I'm as safe as possibly can be. I turn my back on the gospel and I start going back to the things of the world, then I am not safe anymore. That's as simple can be. 2 Peter 1. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. Notice this. Yes, by promises. Salvation is connected with promises. And it's by those you're partakers, and you escape corruption. Save people here. And he says then, a list of characteristics that we need to add and develop and mature in about self-control and knowledge and patience and brotherly love. And he says, if these things be in you and abound, they make you to be neither barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord. Well, what's that mean? That you're not barren or unfruitful. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, hath forgotten that he was cleansed. Notice, here's a person who was purged from his old sins, but he's forgotten it now. He's not growing as he ought to. Well, that's okay, because he's once saved, always saved, right? He was purged, and so he's always purged. No, he's got some new sins. He's not doing what he ought to. What happens? Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if condition ye do these things, you shall never fall. Well, if I do the things he describes here, I shall never fall. What if I don't do that? That's the blind, and that's the poor person who has forgotten their cleansing. What have they done? They've stopped going the way of faith. They stopped growing and continuing. And as long as they continue in that state, where are they? Fall. But as long as I continue in faith, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly, even into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How is it that we have security? There is security. The door is, if you will, let me paraphrase this, the door is going to be flung open for you, and you will be guaranteed entrance if you follow in faith. That's what this passage says. Security is there. Conditional security. You turn your back on God, you have no security of salvation. As simple as can be. 2 Peter 2. Talking of false prophets, false teachers, denying the Lord that bought them. These people were bought by the Lord, but now they're what? They have damnation. Notice that. Blood bought people who have damnation? How can that possibly be? If you're once saved, always saved. Then again, these blood-bought false teachers, they were what? They teach those that were clean escaped from them that who live in error. There are people who were escaped, they were clean, they were pure. But then, because of false teaching, what? For of whom a man is overcome, the same is brought into bondage. Well, I thought that idea of if you sin, you die, that didn't apply to Christians. Here he says, if you are overcome, the same is what you're in bondage to. You know, that's Romans 8:13, you sin, you die. James 1, we saw that, you sin, you die. And after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse than the beginning. Worse. Why? Because like that dog, he's turned again, turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed, what were they? They were cleansed. Wallowing in the mire now. What's the point of this, dogs and swine? Thank you. Not enough time.